The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Okay. Hello. This is BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. You are listening to Cece Harry, and I believe we have Robert 11X Minor on the line. Robert, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. How's everybody doing out there in Radio Land? And Cece, how are you tonight?
I am excellent. Just sitting here in the heat, wondering if it will pass, but I mean, I guess I'm more excited about heat than any cold that we would ever have to experience, so I'm not going to complain.
Right.
Right. It's like, it's funny because I guess the first day of summer was either yesterday or the day before yesterday, but it has been hot for quite some time now.
Yeah, and the thing about being in the Midwest is it's very humid, and that just makes the heat feel like a blanket on top of you.
Right. Definitely like a blanket. I mean, I guess this is the time of year people need to just make sure that their elderly and their pets and their young children are well hydrated and in AC so that they're not suffering, because we know there's many instances where people have died because the heat is so so bad. So if you have elderly pets or children, make sure you're not leaving them in the car, because some people are still making that mistake. If you have an elderly mom or dad or grandparent, make sure you're checking on them, because what I find is the elderly people, they get this strange turn in the way that they think. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. They don't turn on the AC, even if they have it sometimes, because they're afraid that the bill is going to go up. And, you know, a lot of elderly people come from, and money was just really, really scarce. I don't know when it wasn't scarce for black people, but just, you know, really, really hard times. So, you know, if you have an elderly adult in your life, you know, go by and check on them and make sure that they're getting everything that they need. I had an instance like that, what was it, last week, I think, where a woman at the Dollar Tree, and she was actually pushing a shopping cart in the heat, and it was like 91 degrees outside. So I happened to give her a ride home, but, you know, I guess I should follow up and check on her, because I haven't heard anything from her since. But, yeah, so That's what that is. We just have to kind of make sure we make sure everybody's okay, especially in our community.
So let's with that information you just shared. So people that's listening to the show, and you might be short on funds or whatever, so you need air conditioning. So here's an idea that you could implement to try to save some money and at the same time find an air conditioner. You can buy them used on the internet, like places like Craigslist, places, OfferUp, and they have a few other sites that sell, you know, used items like that. So if you can't afford it, do try the internet or go to your local resale shops in your city. And a lot of times at this time of the year, people are selling used air conditioners. You can go to the resale shop, you can go to the flea market. I'm sure they have Goodwill outlet stores now all over the place. So, I mean, if you got transportation and you can get there. But, you know, the last thing we want to hear about is people dying because they didn't have an air condition in their house or apartment or wherever they may dwell in, or they didn't think that they had enough money to buy one.
Brother so, Robert, greetings to you. This is Scotty.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Scotty?
Okay. I'm doing okay. I was just thinking about the two AC units that's sitting in a trailer that I used to live in, but it's now being used for storage, and I didn't even use those things an entire year. You know, so I got two of them. I think I paid $300 a piece for them brand new, and they've been sitting in there for about 5 years. I'm going to have to pull them out, man, because somebody could use them. You know, I sell them for about $100 a piece or something like that. But I was also thinking about, if you go to YouTube, for those people, you may say, well, I ain't even got $100, you know, to spend on that.
Right.
I've seen people make, I don't know the proper terminology, but, you know, they rigged up a AC unit. This is what they did, Brother Robin and Sister Cece. They took, like, you know, like the big white buckets that, you know, we might mop out of or something like that. You know, they're usually white and stuff, and they come with a lid, you know. Or So anyway, what you do is, it's on YouTube. You drill holes in the side of it near the top. You drill holes in it. Then you fill up the bottom with ice. Okay, and then you take a regular fan and you put it over the top of the bucket to where it's pushing, pointing downwards towards the ice. And, of course, it's going to go hit the ice and then come out them holes. And that's an AC unit. It'll keep one room cool for however long, you know, you got ice.
You know what? I'm looking right now. All one has to do is, and we're going to put this on our page since we are talking about it. We're going to put it on BIB Radio Facebook page. But all one has to do is type in the search engine or Google whatever, homemade air conditioner. And then what pops up is videos of homemade air conditioner. So like Scotty said, if you can't afford it, oh my goodness, there are ways around that problem, definitely ways around that problem. But what I wanted to add also is, don't forget about going to your public places like your library, your grocery store. You know, there are some places, YMCA, places that you can go and get out of the heat for at least a little while. And I know that there are also some sort of programs that help you pay for your utilities, like the LIHI program. I think it's LIHI program, if you need help with your utilities, because this is some pretty extreme heat. Me coming from Seattle, we definitely do get up to, I would say, 80 and 90 in the summertime. Last week they were into the 92s, I think, and they're just now starting to need ACs, I guess, because of the climate change. But this humidity in St. Louis is definitely something else. I can't imagine having to go get your hair done all the time. I don't know what people are doing because it is really hot. but with that being said, everyone, just make sure that you are taking care of your loved ones and taking care of yourself. Make sure that you're drinking the proper water, because as we learned from Tando Radio with David, if you're not drinking the proper water, you're not being hydrated. So you want to make sure that you are being hydrated, because it's something that we just don't even really think about. You know, you start having some issues and problems, well, it's just simply because you're not hydrated. Notice if you go to the hospital, that's the first thing they do. They hook you up to an IV. Well, that's a money scam, but they hook you up to an IV to make sure that you're hydrated. They stick that thing in you, and it immediately, you know, puts that solution in you to hydrate you. So obviously that's the first step to wellness, is the hydration. So make sure you're getting hydrated.
And on top of that, one more thing, you know, they say that most water that we buy from the store, I mean, people, we like to educate. So most water that we buy from the store is I just read this on YouTube, or I think it was YouTube. I was listening to this. The water that you buy that you think is healthy for you, a lot of the times it's like it causes oxidation in the skin, and it's just like you need to have the water that's alkaline and definitely antioxidant type of water. I just realized recently, I just looked into that, and that blew me away. So a lot of the water, you think water is good for you, but if it's not, as I just said, alkaline, or if it's not antioxidant, then it's the opposite, which is causing oxidation, and that's no good. That's like you're not even really drinking water. So
right.
So this heat brings about. This is a good conversation to have, considering, you know, where we are in the Midwest and the humid factor and the heat. Yesterday, they said the high was like 100 degrees. I was in the heat all day yesterday, and I was in the shade, though. But it didn't feel that bad being out there all day, as well I've been out there all day today. And it just, you know, something about being in this black skin that, you know, and drinking enough water at the same time, it just didn't feel that way to me, but I wasn't in the sun. So, and I can imagine if somebody's in a house with no AC, and elderly people do some of the strangest things. They'll be in a house with the windows down and no air blowing
through. Food rotting. The refrigerator off, all kinds of
things. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. So check on your elderly people. Go and check on the elderly, you know, and make sure they're all right. And there's some young people out here that's not doing as well also. And so, you know, call and check on them. Make sure they're okay. So I'm done
with
it.
Right, right.
Yeah. It's time to move on.
Oh, you know, we're here to inform. So, you know, if that takes up the first part of the show, it's okay, because we – you know, sometimes people don't even think about things until somebody says something. So, you know, I'm appreciative once again, as always, to Black Talk Radio Network and Scotty and you, Robert, for allowing such a platform to inform our listeners of whatever it is that we feel we need to talk to them about. Of course, this is an entrepreneurial show, but in that, we also like to make sure that everybody is going to be all right. So by any means necessary. So with that being said, if you'd like to listen to us or if you'd like to talk, dial in at 641-715-3660. Participant code would be 549-032-#. And then if you'd like to talk, press *6 and the number 1. So it looks like we're going to go ahead and get into our show, because it is 15 after. I want to say 5:15. My computer is still on somebody else's time, but no, it's not 5:15, it's 7:15 our time. But we want to go ahead and get into the show. We're going to do a roundtable discussion today about the last three shows that we had. We've had some pretty dynamic shows, but you know, today we're going to talk about the last three. The last show we had last week was wonderful. part two on that, which we were dealing with entrepreneurs and relationships and how that looks. What is it that you need to do to make a relationship work? Can you be an entrepreneur talking, or I'm sorry, not talking, but dating or married to someone who is a 9-to-5-er? Because of the opposite paradigms in those situations, is it possible to get along? We're still digging into that. And, you know, as this subject matter has come up, you know, I've asked several people about that, and they're usually entrepreneurs. I mean, that's kind of all I know right now. Other people that have time to really talk about such things, they have all said no, they can't see how that relationship could work because the two mindsets are totally different. And I kind of agree with that, but at the same time, you may have a 9-to-5 person that is working their way off of the plantation. So if you have a person that's working their way off the plantation and they're working to defragment their mind from that type of thinking, I think that could work with an entrepreneur. So, you know, anything is possible. You just, you know, have to figure out the dynamics for yourself. But again, what we're going to do is continue to dig into that subject matter. And as we prepare the appropriate guests for that show, somebody or some people who are informed and knowledgeable, we will bring them on and we will continue that show. Might be part 2, 3, 4, 5, who knows? You know, we're laid back. We can do whatever we want to do as far as us concerned. But with that being said, Robert, we were looking into something today and we found a clip by Dr. Boyce Watkins where he those lines. We hope to get him on the show pretty soon. As you all know, if you know Dr. Boyce Watkins, he's pretty busy. But can you hear me now?
Yeah, we heard you. The last thing you said, you know, that we're looking to get Dr. Boyce Watkins on the show, and he started fading in and out.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the connection today, maybe the heat. But we're looking to get him on the show. He's very busy. But meanwhile, Scotty, I think, has the clip available to us. So, Scotty, if you want, you can go ahead and play that if it's not going to run into our break.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from the Black Wolf Boot Camp, and I wanted to talk to you about a story that I just read recently that I think is worthy of discussion. Now, this story has to do with divorce and how divorce is perpetuated by money problems. According to some researchers, a researcher by the name of Sonia Britt at Kansas State University, she says that arguing about money is the top predictor of divorce. Now, she says that regardless, this is true regardless of income, debt, net worth, etc. And I'm going to read a quote from what she said here. And she says that arguments are by far the top predictor of divorce. It's not children, sex, in-laws, or anything else. It's money for both men and women. And so the study was entitled Examining the Relationship Between Financial Issues and Divorce. It was published in 2012 in the Family Relations Journal. And it looked at data from 4,500 couples. And so basically they're saying that, that you know, that fights about money are indicative of deeper issues. They go into things like power, trust, all these things, all these variables that kind of make relationships go or make them stop depending on the situation. And so I think this is an important understanding, important thing for you to kind of realize. I actually wrote a book called Financial Lovemaking, which I partner with S.T. Brown from Ebony Magazine. And one of the things that we observed a long time ago is that financial dynamics play a huge part in relationships. They play a huge part in who you choose to date. They play a huge part in how your relationship goes. When there's money instability, financial problems, it tends to just create a rockiness where maybe one of the partners feels a little less secure than the other. Another one feels, oh, you're spending up all the money, or, oh, you won't let me do what I want to do. You have issues like financial infidelity that come into play where I'm going to sneak and I'm going to go use money for something that you don't know about because you won't let me be free. So one of the things that we tell people on a regular basis is that anybody that you choose to have a relationship with, you have to make sure you understand whether or not you're financially compatible. If you're not, you know, people will look at sexual compatibility and spiritual compatibility, professional compatibility, but they don't look at financial compatibility. And I can tell you, if you don't do that, then you could be in for a really rude awakening and a really painful experience.
Is that it?
Actually, I had a technical issue. Let me see if I can get it back. I don't know what happened there. Give me just a moment, and we'll get right back to it. Here we go.
That subject matter is definitely...
Hey, everybody. How you doing? I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins.
We'll get back to that
part. Huge part in relationships. They play a huge... You know, oh, you won't let me do what I want to do. You have issues like financial infidelity that come into play where I'm going to sneak and I'm going to go use money for something that you don't know about because you won't let me be free. So one of the things that we tell people on a regular basis is that anybody that you choose to have a relationship with, you have to make sure you understand whether or not you're financially compatible. If you're not, you know, people will look at sexual compatibility and spiritual compatibility, professional compatibility, but they don't look at financial compatibility. And I can tell you, if you don't do that, then you could be in for a really rude awakening and a really painful experience, because then next thing you know, you end up arguing about money, and then you've got all these emotional issues compounded with financial stress. And I think for black folks, it's a real interesting dynamic as well, because money, in many cases, is an issue for our community. We don't have the same money that white folks have. We don't get the same job opportunities. Many people, you know, are trained in the black community to go and ask, you know, the white guy down the street for a job. We're not really trained to create jobs, or we don't feel that we have the ability to develop economic infrastructure in our community. And I think this is really interesting in terms of how it affects the way the black woman sees the black man. I think on average, from what I've observed, women tend to view men who have money and power in a different status. Like Barack Obama is considered one of the sexiest black men in America, but he wasn't one of the sexiest black men in America back when he was driving a raggedy car and couldn't afford to, you know, to hardly pay the rent. So I think that, you know, you have to be honest about this. You got to kind of think about how this plays out for you. You got to think about how it affects your relationships. You got to think about how you're positioned. If you're a man, you want to make sure you have a plan B by knowing how to start a business. It only takes maybe a couple hundred hours of work to learn how to start a business. That's less than, you know, there's 168 hours in a week. And so it probably takes about, you can probably learn how to start a business in maybe 2 or 3 weeks of intense training, things like that. And at theblackbusinessschool.com, we have resources available to you where you don't have to go spend $100,000 going to a big university. You can just come to us, and you know, you might pay $99 a month or $150 a month, something small. But what I just want to share with you guys is that you can't underestimate the impact that money has on your relationships. You can't. In fact, the way money is spent, like for example, if I'm married to somebody and she's taking all the money and giving it to her alcoholic brother, and I don't love this dude, but I know he's taking money out of, you know, food out of my kids' mouths, then that might cause an issue, right? Or I've seen situations where a man might be, you know, spending money on another woman and taking care of her kids, and the wife is furious because that's her kids' money, right? So, you know, at the end of the day, you got to really, I think that financial security solves a lot of problems. I think financial responsibility solves a lot of problems. I think that analyzing financial compatibility solves a lot of problems. So think about all these things as you create and invest in relationships, because your family is your first small business. If you manage that small business wrong, then everything else kind of messes up after that. So anyway, I'm about to get out of here. By the way, I do believe strongly that preparing our kids for the future in terms of understanding wealth building, cooperative economics, entrepreneurship, etc., is critically important. We have a program for that. You can find out more at blackmillionairesoftomorrow.com. That's blackmillionairesoftomorrow.com. And of course, you know I teach at the blackwealthbootcamp.com, and we have a lot of resources in place. So if you want to solve some of these problems, you want some help, I might be your guy. So take care, guys. I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins. You have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
All right. Well, those were wonderful words of inspiration about financial compatibility from Dr. Boyce Watkins. There was some serious meat to what he said. What do you think, Robert?
Oh, no doubt. Oh, I just sat here listening like, well, that's my language, you know. I mean, when you got a long history at this thing, two decades, I can honestly say, I'm listening to him and I'm smiling because I can relate totally to what he was saying in terms of relationships and dealing with money. a lot of I've got a rap from friend, well, not friends, but associates, acquaintances that I've been in dialogue with and shared experiences with. And some women and some men thought that I was very extreme. I've been divorced twice already in this entrepreneurship, in this entrepreneurial journey. And in both marriages, I had to really go there with both wives in reference to thinking that my money was the money that they could come in and get and do whatever with, okay? And so my approach to both of my wives when they leaned on me for money was, let's go to the flea market and I'll rent you a booth at the flea market and you make the money that you want me to give you. You make the money. But the criteria for that was, you make the money, but you're not going to be able to just blow it. And I stand firm to that type of mindset even today, you know, because this thing is very serious when you, like, I'm starting over in the business. 8 months ago, 9 months ago, I was sleeping in the back seat of my car. So in 9 months' time, I'm into a 8-unit piece of property purchase that I just made. I just started a business here recently. Well, it's been up and going for about six months. So everything is critical in my mind. Everything is critical. I have no extra cash, and your children don't see that like that. The children don't have a clue. You know, and perhaps even your girlfriend, or if you got girlfriends or your wife, she may not even see it like that, because this thing, if you know what it takes, then you have to really be willing to sacrifice those things that you normally would do when the money is there. Well, you got to realize, hey, the money is not here right now, and in order to get to a comfort, and I hate to use that word, but in order to get to a level, let's put it like this, in order to get to a level where there is ease financially, you have to sacrifice. Now, I'm rocking a baby literally in the form of a business as we speak. It's a baby that can't even walk on its own. So I'm fathering this business, and I know it's a baby. And it takes at least 2 to 3 years before the baby can really start alerting you, mama, daddy, something's wrong. Well, the same thing with a business. It's just that delicate. It's a life to me, because that business is alive. So it is a life. It creates a lifestyle. So, and nobody really, but the person that really had that vision, maybe perhaps really sees that, really gets that in depth with it. And as I told a young lady today, what I do is not a hustle to me. I don't care if it was on a street corner. It's a business where you got to see it as a business and operate it as a business. You may not be able to do everything in that business that a large corporation would be able to do, because they have so many people doing all the delegate the task to all those different people. However,
wait, before you go to the however, hold on. We got to take a break at the 30 mark. We'll come back with the rest of what you're trying to tell us.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Wouldn't it be crazy? Would you step for crazy?
Okay, and we're back.
Yes,
welcome
we
to BIB Radio. Welcome to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. We are doing a recap of the last three shows that we did. The one that we're speaking on right now is Entrepreneurs and Relationships. Let me get the correct title. The correct title is, hold on, let me scroll down. It's Relationships and Entrepreneurialism. So Robert is telling us about his experience and how he's rocking a baby and nursing it until it can walk and be potty trained.
Once it's able to talk back to you, then you can step back a little bit, and that's a whole nother quadrum. As one of my mentors, Robert Kiyosaki, it's four quadrums, you know, and the one is employee, the other is self-employed, the other is business owner, and the other is investor. And once that thing can grow to allow you to become the business owner, then now that business is like that child in junior high. You still have to oversee them, but you want that business to get to the point to where that child is in college, on his way out of college, and you don't have to oversee that child. Now you're strictly business owner, you know. But I often reference the sacrifice that had to take place in America in this primitive state. You know, the luxuries we have today, I think, really make us so damn lazy, you know.
Well, you know, honestly, you are right. Some people do get lazy and complacent, but at the same time, I don't really think it's fair to really slap a lazy label. I think that the majority of household problems could be fixed by a simple budget.
Well, no, let me finish what I was saying, though.
When
I say we're lazy, because, see, the amount of sacrifice that it took for a man to get on a horse with a buggy attached to it and travel from California to New York to buy goods to bring back to California, or whatever they needed to get. Well, he had to leave his family behind. Now, we're talking well over, I'm sure, 2,000 miles in between those two cities. Easy, that. How long do you think it took for that man to make that journey? And how much of a sacrifice was it for him to leave his family behind? Now, I always use that reference, what I just said, when it comes to me doing business today. You know, I always go back to, even with slavery, I always say the slaves were forced to work from can't see to can't see without pay. So for me personally, I always said I'm open 24/7. That was my motto. Because those references there, the amount of sacrifice that it took to get America, yeah, it was. Don't think that I don't know that it was foul play involved. Even though it was foul play, there still was a lot of sacrificing being done from families, from the husband to the wives. It was a whole lot more because these conveniences wasn't there. The conveniences that we have today were not there back then. You know, and as slaves, I mean, we had it rough, you know. So now we get to a point to where we at least have our time to decide whether or not we're going to work, whether or not we're going to sit at home, or whatever we want to do. We at least have that luxury today. So for me as an entrepreneur, I got to go hard because I always think about why wouldn't I go hard? If we were forced to go hard, then how would I not go hard at this particular point in time that we are quote unquote free? I got to go hard. And see, and I say that we have been given a television. We have been given radio with all the foul music, and it has really put us into a state of mind that we are so non-productive that, and it caused us to be lazy. Some of us, we just love to get into these programs and become programmed. So, you know, if we're not sacrificing, if we're not willing to sacrifice, if we're not willing to support black business, open up more black business. It's funny how when you speak about opening up black business, when you make that your poster child, that I consider myself a poster child for a black business. But it's ironic that by doing that, you looked at people. Just give you a bad label. They get upset with you because that's all you talk about is black business. Because economically, when you listen to Dr. Boyce Atkins, or what's his name, Dr. Boyce Atkins, right?
Watkins.
I want to get it right. And all the other black male figures that speak on economics, like the video 7 a.m. which I recommend everybody watch that video. Get that video, 7 a.m. It really will put you in such a 911 state of mind financially as it pertains to us as a whole, and you really need to be there. You really need to be at that point. So, I mean, I'm a let CeCe let you have a little say-so, and I can go on and on and on, but... like I say, by being that voice, that poster child, and I love being the poster child of Do For Self. Being that poster child really offends people. I'm realizing that, man, I'd call a lot of hell just by saying, let the white man go or let Pharaoh go. And I've caught a lot of hell. I have to ask myself sometimes, what did I do to these people? I'm not gonna call nobody out, but what did I do to these people to where they don't even want to deal with me on that level? Because all I always ever say is we have to do for ourselves. We have to take this thing by the horns and turn it around. We cannot continue to look for employment in the world. And I had a young brother tell me this right here. He said, I'm going to give it to you. I put it to him. I said, brother, I said, if we use the language as conscious people that we are gods, which is true. We are all gods. And if we use the language that the white man is Satan, the devil, which is true, then how do you comfortably, as you say you are a god, go to work for a devil or Satan? Do you really believe what you say you are? That was my question to him. And the young brother's answer to me was, well, brother, a wise God would go to work for the devil and plan his exodus off of his job. And I said, no, brother. I told him this right here. I said, brother, most of us will say that 20 years later, a wise God will go to work for the devil and plan our exodus. 20 years later, that's the same statement that will be made. I know this because I hear it over and over and over again. So you know, these things that we are dealing with comes from the fear of that woman being upset with you, black man. You don't want to make her think that you ain't the man because your electric went out. I say light a damn candle. Let the electric go out, light a damn candle, and go get your package from UPS and so that you can make more money than what the bill is due, and then have them turn it back on. But be man enough to stand on it. So what she may be or he may be uncomfortable for a day. So damn what? Do what it takes to put your next generation in a better situation. And that requires some sacrifice. And it doesn't always look good, the sacrifice part. Doesn't always look good, you see. So we have to become not worried about what the Joneses think, not worried about how the spouse think, because if the spouse ain't down for you, hey, you'll find out. And then you have to be strong enough, male or female, to make the right decision for your vision. And it ain't always be pretty. It ain't perfectly scripted. So they say when marriage comes, well, just like what we just heard, well, you got to pretty much have the same ideal in order to be successful there. It can't be two different opposing ideals talking about coming together in marriage because you were attracted to this person. No, it just don't work like that. Especially if you're serious about changing the financial condition of the reality that you live in. You have to have an understanding, the two of you all, and you have to work diligently, compassionate about changing those conditions. You just have to do that. So, this format here is a blessing. Because for entrepreneurs, we are a different type of people. We're a different type of people. And for our mates, they have to understand, and we have to understand above those we choose for our mate. And CeCe, there was something that you said last week that really has been on my mind, and it stayed there. There are different levels of entrepreneurs. They're different levels. There's some that just hustle this thing through. They ain't serious about it.
I did not, again, I didn't.
We're having some technical difficulty with you, CeCe. We can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
We can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. Sound like a little cell phone commercial.
Okay. What I said, which I corrected this last week also, I did not say there's different levels. I said there are different types of entrepreneurs.
Yes, ma'am.
And
what you said was
that, you know, kind of needed a study, you know, because as I'm learning, there are entrepreneurs that choose to make money from the laptop, choose to have true financial freedom to where they can do what they need to do versus having to stay and do, you know, other things. They want to be able to travel or whatever. Then you have an entrepreneur that, you know, like we met the guy who is working at the UPS store because he has a franchise business.
Right.
You know, and talking with him, you know, that's not something that he really enjoys. It's something he did, but he really doesn't enjoy it. I mean, there's several different types of entrepreneurs, so I don't ever want to say levels, because when you say levels, that's a comparison. And when you try to compare yourself to other people, you get into very dangerous territory. Just because someone doesn't do things the way that you do them, or the way that you think that they should do them,
or, you know, that type of thing, you get into very dangerous territory, because then you're kind of judging how one chooses to live. Now, back to what we're talking about as far as entrepreneurial mates, you know, that might be something that would disrupt your relationship if you're out and you're doing things this way and the other person is doing things another way. That may pose a problem for you. But I say, as long as you can sit back and create a budget, I mean, that's like business 101 for even your household. Because when you hang by that budget, then you don't have to worry about your husband going off and spending money on things that we didn't agree to, or you don't have to worry about your wife going off and spending money on things that we didn't agree to. Because even if the wife is making her own money, that's still money for the house. Now, she may need to take a portion to pay herself first, because that's the business 101 also. You have to pay yourself. And in paying yourself, you actually know how much you have bringing in, how much you are bringing in. So it's not just pay yourself by this lump sum of money that you're getting. No, you know what you're bringing in, and you know how much you can afford to pay yourself. And if you choose to put that pay yourself aside, then that's great. But it's all about everybody being on one accord, not a dictatorship, rulership, not anything like that, not anybody thinking that one job is more important than the other, but everybody coming together of a like mind and deciding, this is what we're doing, this is what we're saving, this is what we can spend each day on this, or each week on groceries, or the utility bills can only go right here, our cell phone plan is going to be like this, you know, whatever it is. It would take a budget, because if you're on a budget, then nobody is going to be offended. Nobody is going to deviate from what the... So the other person is, like I said, not sneaking off and doing this, and that person's doing this, and then we're angry. You know, that's just, like I said, business 101. People need a budget to follow. That's my perspective on the whole thing. But I don't know. As we get to the human side of it, you know, I think people have more in common than what they know. But it's their circumstances that they create that end up being the dividing factor, which is sometimes unfortunate, but that's just what happens in people. Again, I talked to a few people who are entrepreneurs, and they dealt with the 9-to-5. Matter of fact, I talked to a young lady today, and she told me she used to have a boyfriend, and he worked 9-to-5, and it was very difficult because she was trying to make her candles and all this other stuff she was doing so she could prepare for, like, her sales, you know, but he just didn't understand that. And I think sometimes that it comes up if the person is not bringing in the money that a 9-to-5er is not. Now, those tables very well could turn because entrepreneur's situation may come up. A 9-to-5er could get laid off or fired at any time. Now, we know that. That happens all the time in the corporate world, just people who work for Walmart. I mean, everybody looks at Walmart like, ooh, it's a superstore. That's where you can go work and be a door greeter. They'll never close. No, Walmart has closed down several places. So if you're some big executive and your husband is at home because he has preparing violins, you know, and suddenly he gets a big contract with the school, well, hallelujah, because the tables have turned, but because we're on a budget, all our money is just going to go in the right direction. I mean, there's just several ways to look at this. I mean, we all have our own personal situations, dealing with relationships to entrepreneurship, but I guess I think people really create these really unnecessary situations by, you know, not having a budget. If you have a budget and you know what money is what, you know, there's no my money, you know, my money or your, no, this is our money. You can pay yourself from what you've made, but this money is for the house, especially if we say that we have a greater goal. Well, let's have the greater goal spelled out. It's not just whatever's in your head at the time. This is the goal, or you can't spend money, or I'm not going to give you money for this, or you don't deserve money for that. No, what is the greater goal and the greater purpose? I mean, I've seen so many dictatorships in marriages. It's just not even funny. A marriage is a partnership. So if you marry somebody or you're with somebody and you hope to be in a partnership, then there's ways to enter a partnership, just like in business. You know, it shouldn't be all of a sudden this switch-o-change-o stuff going on where, well, a person is doing this and I didn't know that they were going to do that. Especially if a person is like a housewife or something like that. I've seen it where the wife is at home and then she doesn't have any extra money or whatever and just struggling. I think that there's a way to eliminate all that. I mean, just even if you need marriage counseling, I mean, there's a way to fix everything, I think.
You fade it out, CC. We can't hear you.
No, I put it on mute so I could cough.
Oh.
No, I just said I think that there's a way to eliminate everything. I mean, people can be on the same page if they want to be on the same page, you know, but then you have, you know, some people that want to be in control and be condescending and be rude and just have this stupid attitude, you know. That person doesn't need to be married. They don't need to be with anybody. They need to be with themselves. That's it. I mean, they just need to be with themselves because, again, a relationship is a partnership, and either you want to be in it for the greater good or you want to be in it for yourself, which, I mean, you might as well just be by yourself. It just, it's all got to flow together, you know. And, again, if you're having trouble, my goodness, there's a lot of counselors available. Matter of fact, let me see. Yeah, there are a lot of counselors available. For such issues, like I was telling Robert before, you know, here we're looking for all these experts on the issue, but, you know, if we have had situations ourselves, we are then the experts. Doesn't mean we know everything, but it means that we have experience. So you all are welcome to, of course, call 153-660, participating 549-032 and pound. If you like,
repeat that number, CC, you faded out.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The number is 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549-032 pound. And then *6 and 1 if you would like to be heard. I see we have a couple people on the line. Nobody has decided to press the *6 and one. So thank you all for calling in and listening to our program. We definitely appreciate it. I hope you're getting information out of the programming. Looks like they're all from the 314 area code. Maybe that's some people you know, Robert, 314.
That's my partner.
But yeah.
314 in the house. They representing, yeah. But
I figured that. But yeah, so
you know, I'm gonna go like, back to
wait, hold on, don't go back to anything. Somebody has a question.
Okay, beautiful.
Welcome to BIB Radio. Who do we have on the line? Hello? Oh, the person is not talking. Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me now?
On the line?
Hi, this is LSI. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, LSI, how are you?
Oh, life is good. Life is good. I've been having a good day.
How do you feel, brother?
Huh?
I say welcome to BIB Radio.
Hey, man, I love the topic. I love what you guys are talking about. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say thank you for what you're discussing because I think that this is something that really needs to be discussed and organized because we really need this as a community. So big ups, and I just wanted to bump in and say hi right quick, and I'm still listening.
Oh, well, thanks. We appreciate you bumping in. Why don't you let the listeners know about your conference call that you have available weekly? What is it called, and how can they listen in?
Oh, okay. Well, our conference call is on Wednesday, and basically it's a healing bomb. It's a conference call that we have people from
all walks of life, being able to unite without arguing and unite in the essence of love, development, and healing, because we are learning more and more about ourselves that we can heal ourselves, and the great powers that we hold within ourselves as a people. So that would be the Heal Thyself conference call, and we do it every Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
Give us a phone number.
What's the phone number? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the phone number. Give me a hot second here.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, the phone number is 218-936-0365. That's 218-936-0365. And then the access code is 233-123-pound. That's 233-123-pound. And last night we started neurocinematics, which gets into the understanding of controlling people through movies and things of that nature, and we're just getting off of melanin, you know, that type of thing, and understanding our bodies and interactive visual networking, if you will, all kind of good stuff. So that's what we do.
Well, if you ask me, that sounds like a radio program in the making.
Yeah, that's what we're you know, everybody's saying, well, when are you gonna make, you know, when you're gonna hit mm-hmm. the live scene. So it's a
stay
thought
tuned.
Process. It's a seed that's planted.
Right. Well, we thank you for calling in. Call back anytime. You're a friend to the show, and we so appreciate you for the work that you're doing to help our listeners and the people that look like us, heal thyself. So you have a wonderful night, brother, and we will talk to you again soon.
Stay tuned. Don't hang up.
I appreciate it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I say don't hang up. Just keep listening.
Oh, yeah, definitely going to keep on listening. And like I say, I'm looking forward to, like I said, I'm a first-time caller, but I know a strong situation when I feel it and when I hear it and when I see it. I appreciate you all, and just looking forward to joining the family. And, you know, bringing all of these different networks together, because the more we stick together, the more powerful we are, and the more that we network and increase our financial understanding, the better we are as a people, as a nation. And that's what we're doing. So big ups, appreciate you, and we will be talking soon for sure.
All right.
Shalom. Talk to you soon.
All right. Shalom.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, we appreciate our listeners, new, old, and everybody in between. Wonderful.
All right.
So we've got to go ahead and go on to the commercial break. We can let Scotty take us in, and then we're going to go to our next topic.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to BIB Radio. You are listening to us on the Black Talk Radio Network. You're talking with Robert 11X Minor and CC Harry. We are recapping the last three shows that we did. We just finished talking about the relationship show, Entrepreneurs and Relationship. Next, we'll get into the Young Entrepreneurs. That was a very powerful show where we interviewed several people. What did you think about that show, Robert? Hello?
Okay, my microphone was off. I said about that. I'm like a kid. When you talk about youth and entrepreneurship, it's I get excited about that because, you know, you deal with a lot of adults and it's like dealing with brick walls a lot of the times. But when you deal with the youth, their energy level and excitement to prove or to show you that they're willing to do it and they want to do it is so refreshing and energizing. You know, it's just always a pleasure to see the youth and work with the youth as entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs in training or just, you know, just being involved, them being involved with your business. You know, I've had nothing but success with working with young people like that. So those shows, the show that we had then, I mean, the mamas that was working with their children, oh, man, it was beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yes, it definitely was beautiful. It kind of makes you want to start over again and be like, wait, that's how I meant to do my children? Just like that. I want to do just what she did. They are all doing a remarkable job, especially Paulette. She came on with her son. And as you mentioned earlier, she promotes her son. She really does. She is all over the place with her son, encouraging him to be an entrepreneur, encouraging his skills, you know, and she's a terrific mom. And God bless her for, you know, the work that she is putting in, because the system, the school, those people, they have really tried to oppress that young man. But because she is a mother, she stepped up and said, nope, there's no way I'm going to let them extinguish my son's talents. He's gifted. So let me take all that energy and put it into what I need to do. And that's exactly what she did. I mean, I'm just so proud of her. You know, she even, she's working from home so that she can support her son and what he needs to do. So I really appreciate that. And then we had the other sister that wrote the book.
How
what was her name?
Teach Our Child to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, Sister Tia. Tia Muhammad. Absolutely. She wrote that book, and you know, she's excited because she's a grandmother, and I can't wait to see the next generation from her that comes from all the knowledge and understanding that she's gotten from the experience that she had, even, you know, at the Power Networking Conference, because that's where she received a lot of her inspiration. Matter of fact, that's where I met her, was last year at the Power Networking Conference. And I just really loved her energy. She is just a wonderful person, you know, just honestly. She's definitely about her business. Then we also had Queen Thais, who I know from the Liberated Minds Expo that is held every single year. And Liberated Minds Expo is a showcase of Black homeschool. And I believe that child entrepreneurship starts with homeschool. I mean, of course, if your children go to regular school, they can be entrepreneurs. But, I mean, if you are at home with those children and you're teaching them, you're teaching to how they learn instead of the other way around, they really can capitalize on what their true gifts are. They don't have to have all this stuff thrown at them, telling them, you know, they need to do this and be this way or whatever. You know, our people are experiential learners. You know, they learn through experience. So for a parent to be able to homeschool their child and take them into the world and do things with them is really, really special. I've had two stints with that myself. I wish it could have lasted longer or gone longer in homeschooling my children, but I definitely believe that it is the way to cut back or cut out completely all of this oppression that goes on in the school, all this labeling that goes on in the school. But we've just been so clouded with the busyness of life. We've been taught to drop our children off at a daycare, drop our children off at the school. By the time they're in, I will say, seventh or eighth grade, we just completely forget about them and leave them on their own. They know how to cook. They know how to open the door themselves. They can ride a bus. And we just kind of throw them out to the wolves and expect them to raise themselves. I mean, that's a harsh way to put it. But if you look at most households, because a lot of people are working jobs, that's what happens. The children are coming home and just being, you know, having to take care of themselves. So, you know, Liberated Minds definitely offers a different perspective on schooling your children. And I really, really like what Queen has going on over there.
When you don't have control of your time, that is the most frustrating thing, I think, that any human being... And there are some jobs people say that they honestly like. Okay, well, if it's something that you honestly like and it's working for someone, then where's the disconnect with realizing that you honestly like this and you're good at it and you actually could be doing this for yourself? And then to add to that, going back to what you just said, when you can control your time, you honestly could have set your own curriculum. I don't know if it was you or somebody I was just talking to who recently said that it's just a matter of getting on the internet, the curriculum, and them doing the curriculum at home for homeschooling, and it wasn't much to do that. The problem is parents don't own their own time, and that's the problem. And you, as you just said, jobs. Everybody thinks that they have to have a job. Well, it's really time to really stop thinking like that. It's the time has changed. You have to start thinking on creating jobs rather than going to look for jobs, because, man, for the last 20 years, jobs have been going to China, Singapore, all these foreign countries, India, and the labor that they're getting the job done for is much cheaper than the labor rate here in America. So, and corporations are not going to stop sending jobs somewhere where they can get their bottom line as low as possible. It's not in the best interest of the company. They ain't that damn patriotic, you know. So parents have to really begin to become more creative financially and coming up with ways to buy back your time. You know, you need to own your time and homeschool your children and do something different, you know, with your life as it pertains to the finances and the creating of jobs, you know. And this is just, again, all of this stuff goes right back to when you look at Black Wall Street. These people saw how we just didn't need to deal with them. They saw how we were growing, and they made an issue bigger than what it really was, to come on in and wipe that whole idea out, and then after that, start allowing us to be able to sit in the same type of restaurants, the same in their restaurants with them. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. The thing is, you know, like you said, owning your own time. Let me make sure you guys can hear me, right? You can hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. because the phone just keeps going out. But owning your own time, I mean, that's very important. But again, we have been brainwashed into dropping our children off somewhere. I mean, it is so disturbing to me, you know, because I got to stay home with my children, not because I was married to somebody and he went off to work and it was like leave it to Beaver. No, it's because God impressed upon me and allowed certain circumstances that I had to create a way of entrepreneurship. So in that, the blessing was that I got to stay home with my children for 10 years. I mean, 10 years. That was great. I mean, when I look back on it, it's just amazing. Now, a component that I wish I had added to it was homeschool all the time. They've been homeschooled periodically, but not all the time. And that's because we are taught again, or brainwashed into thinking that these teachers are basically God and they know our children better than we do and this and that. No, you know your children the best. They came from your womb. And you know when something's not right with them. The teacher may tell you that little Johnny it can't sit still and all that. But that's perfectly normal that little Johnny can't sit still. Why are you making a second grader sit still for 3 hours? Why are you doing that? I mean, why are you giving him bad lunch? I mean, what is all those preservatives and sugars and colors and all that stuff that you put in? That you're giving them, they might as well not be eating it at all. Right. So the system is to make our children fail very early, and I'm talking about from the womb. I'm talking about from birth when they're shooting them up with all these vaccinations that are not healthy for them. That is destroying their immune system. Back to the lunch, they get to school, they're eating this bad lunch. You know, I mean, what child could sit still during that? I mean, it's so discouraging to me because, again, now that I know what I know, I'm ready to, like, be a foster parent for 4 more children. I mean, I have 4 children, but I'm like, okay, I need to go get 4 more children and do this in a different way. I mean, which is very possible because there are a lot of children out there that definitely need foster care. So that is something that is really, really pressing on my heart right now.
There was a post that I recently posted on Facebook where there were 2 Caucasian gay men who had adopted like 3 black young boys.
Yeah, I saw that.
And of course, the environment shapes the young people's thinking. Of course it does. You know, I mean, it's obvious that it does that, okay? So now you got a lot of white men and lesbians, too, adopting young black children. And this push for the gay rights movement and everything, it's huge now. So...
Yes.
If we don't get into adopting our young black men and women, then there are going to be all kind of horror stories coming out later on down the line, and these children's lives are either they're going to get even more messed up, you know, on the subject of adoption. I was blown away. It just really affected me when I saw that, you know. 2 guys, you know, and these 3 young black children, and the first thought that went in my mind, why won't you do this? Why won't you me? Why won't you adopt some children? You know, and so it challenges if you any kind of conscious person, it should challenge you like that. It should make you. Because it's your it's our responsibility as black people to adopt our own, to raise our own, to create the village.
You know what? I did a show on that on my other show, Black Love and Relationships, which will be resurrected one day. I did a show on that, and it was a wonderful show because there was a lady from Washington State. Oh my gosh, she has such a great home for children. You know, oh, she was taking them on vacation. It's a black woman and her husband. I mean, they really built this thing up. They homeschooled the children. It was dynamic. I mean, I was like blown away, you know, because we hear about these horror stories. You hear about gay people adopting our children. You hear about people taking the kids in for foster care to get a check. You hear about people sex trafficking the children. So when I heard this woman and what in the world she was doing with these children and like her program, because it was a program, you know, because if you don't have a program, they got a program for you out in the world. She had a program for these children and she loved them. I think she said she had, man, over 80 children in her care. She's been doing it for like 25 years, something like that. I mean, I was just so enamored with the work that she did. I mean, I just, you know, and maybe, like I said on that show, maybe you can't, for whatever reason, take in a foster child or adopt. I mean, I think there's a lot of stigma behind it, like, oh, the kids are bad, they're going to kill you in the middle of the night, and it's going to be expensive, whatever. You know, that's something that you need to analyze, you know. A lot of us didn't budget when we laid down and had the children that we have, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But what detriment will it be to a society if we don't step in? And let's just say you can't step in and foster. Well, can you support a foster family? Can you make a meal for them? Can you give them a grocery gift card? I mean, everybody thinks the state is some dynamic superpower when it comes to supporting these children. No, it's not. And there is, everybody out there is not doing it for the money, because it is little money. I mean, from state to state, it is little money. I mean, unless the child has significant, like, disabilities or drug addiction or something like that, you know, even that, I mean, how do you pay somebody enough money to raise a child? You can't.
Right.
You know, so like I said, if you cannot foster or adopt, you should think about supporting a foster parent. Robert, what was that going on with the one lady that you had with the grandmother? What was that going on? The grandmother, she suddenly got all her children?
Yeah, well, I made a delivery to a lady a couple of months back, to a house, just a random delivery as we do with the Jag laundry detergent business I own, located at 2505 Chambers Road at Grand Slam Indoor Marketplace. But I made this delivery to this woman.
In St. Louis, Missouri.
At St. Louis, Missouri, 63136.
Okay.
And
314-791-3210. Okay, go ahead.
Or the office phone at 314-899-0008.
Right. Leave a message and they'll get back to you. Okay. Go ahead. You made a delivery to somebody's house or something.
I made a delivery to this woman's house. It was after hours. I was tired, and I was trying to get the soap to her and leave, and she opened the door and was like, "Brother, I got all these children. My daughter gone and left me with the children," and just started talking to me, and I was already overwhelmed that day. But when she started going there, my inner voice told me to listen to her. So I stood there and I let her go, and she went and she went and she went. Told me she had just went into retirement, had bought her a motorcycle because she wanted to ride now that she had time, and she had to sell her motorcycle, and I just felt so bad for her, because I can only imagine. I took care of my grandmother, so I can just imagine how many years you look forward to retirement. If you're a 9-to-5 person, you really do. I can imagine that. You're looking forward to retirement, you get your check or whatever, and you can do whatever you want to do. Well, she got to retirement, and then all of a sudden, her children left. I mean, her daughter left her four children at her house and never came back. So she wound up over a period of time getting custody of them, and she told me, I mean, just told me all this, and called them to the door, and they all came to the door. Beautiful little, I mean, just beautiful. They were friendly. They waved and everything. And my heart went out to this woman. So I left, and as I drove away, I was like, I'd like to do something for her. Next time she called me, I'm going to give her some laundry detergent. And I don't think I got her. No, I didn't get her number that day, and put it on Facebook, and so many people responded to it. And everybody wanted to know what her number was, how to get in touch with her. So I didn't have any of that. I didn't find where she lived at because I didn't. It was just a delivery. So a week ago, not even thinking about it, the woman pulled up to the booth and said, "Hey, brother, remember me?" And I was like, "I'm the you delivered the soap to with the children." And it just lit me up. I was like, "Sister, I am so happy to see you." And I did a video with her because I wanted to show everybody on Facebook the woman that I had been talking about. So she wound up moving. She did move out of the city. And she had three of the four children with her. She got them out the car. If you go on Facebook, Robert 11X minus, and that's 11X spelled out, you can see the post, the video that I posted. I'll repost it for tonight's show. And I mean, it just was a good thing. So I wound up giving her some soap, and I told her, every time you come to this city, I'm gonna make sure you carry home a 5-gallon bucket. If you buy something, even if you don't buy it, if she come here and she don't have the money, I got her. You know, and that's,
now that's a blessing.
Yes, I mean it's
a blessing.
You have to do it. We have to do that. We have to do it, because the blessing for me to be in the position, and I'm not in no great financial position, but I'm very grateful for the position that I'm in, because, again, I go back 9 months ago, I was sleeping in the backseat of the car. And, see, you know, that's not a made-up story. When I met you on the phone, I was talking to you some nights from the backseat of that car, and you know that. So, and a lot of people don't know that. But, so for me to be in the building right now, and if I can help, I'm gonna help, you know. And a lot of people, you know, we know it's a lot of people out here that run game, but I mean, that was so in my face, it was hard not to help, you know. So I was so glad that we were able
to.
She adopted the children, beautiful children. They just, when you see these children, it eats at your soul to help them, to do something with that family. I mean, for me, it was my experience. So, you know, I'm going to do all I can do to help her out, because I know she needs help.
Yeah, well, you know what? The thing is this, you know, we're talking about young entrepreneurs. But no matter what they've gone through with their parents, their mother, their father, or whatever, you know, if the community steps in and supports this woman as you did, you know, you said that, you know, you would definitely support her in the laundry detergent. If people support her, oh, that would give her such a peace of mind, and she wouldn't even have to worry about being angry if she's supported. People come along and relieve her so she can go ride her motorcycle if she didn't sell it. I mean, that's it, the saying is, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, she's got four of them. So, my goodness, the village should definitely come together. And in that, capitalize on those children's skills. You know, let them learn to be entrepreneurs. Let them be a story of overcoming. You know, my mother left us with our grandmother, but now I am a multi-billion dollar blah, 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 whatever. Right. You know, or I am happy. Forget the money. I am happy. I am moving forward in my own business. I make custom whatever. Let them be who they need to be, and that can happen if we step in and we support, you know. But unfortunately, there is a lot
of grandparents having to raise these grandchildren. I mean, there is a lot. My mom was a grandparent raising a grandchild, not mine. I raised my own. But yeah, there she had to raise those grandchildren. And there's so many groups out there for that. That's because it is happening more and more. You know, like Dr. Joy DeGroote says, you know, we, because of slavery, black people, have PTSD. Or does she post-traumatic slave syndrome? She says we have post-traumatic slave syndrome. And, I mean, couple that on top of all of the things that we have to go throughout the day. And then you add the responsibility of children. They didn't ask to be bought into this world, but they're still there. So you couple all those things on top of each other, you have a very wounded person. So if that wounded person knew to drop her children off with a safe person being her mother, God bless her. You know what I'm saying? We right. got to look at the good of it, because what if she would have just left them alone? Because there are those stories where the parent has drowned the children, the parent has left them alone, the parent has killed them. She dropped them off with a person that she could trust, her mother, and now they're being taken care of. So let's, as a community, support these foster parents. Let's support these grandparents raising their children. Let's help them be entrepreneurs. You know, let's relieve these people, you know? I mean, stop looking at it so one-sided. Stop thinking that it's going to take away from you. There's a saying that says, you know, it never took away from anybody to help somebody else. I mean, and I like that saying because that's true. I mean, if I help you, how is that taking away from me? You know? And sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. But I mean, my goodness, I mean, anybody that really knows me knows that I love children. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you could keep them teenagers, but I love children. I mean, it is just, I mean, I'm learning to like the teenagers now. But, oh, small children are so innocent and they're so courageous. I mean, they right. love learning. They love life, you know, until somebody comes and put that poison in their ear. They're just so free-spirited.
They have no fear.
Yeah, they have no fear. I mean, they're ready to fly, fear. And it's amazing. You know, and it's funny because I look at one of my sons, and although he's 20, he's still like that. And I pray that, you know, he always has that in him, but he... you know, learn to navigate whatever he needs to navigate to make it happen for him. But I appreciate that in him, that he's fearless like that, you know, because as you send him into these school systems, they definitely stomp it out of him. Oh, goodness, looks like we got to go to break again. You listen to Black Talk Radio Network. Our show is called BIB Radio. This is Cece Harry with my co-host, Robert 11X Minor. And we'll be back with you with important messages.
Family members under geopolitical, economic, and social unrest. Are you ready? If your answer is no, then this is the opportune time for you to become informed, aware, and prepared for soon coming events. For only $25 per month, become educated in the area of precious metals and disaster preparedness for your home and businesses. For more information, email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Because becoming an entrepreneur is very empowering, we would also like to encourage you in firing your boss. Learn the wonderful opportunities in the Forex market. Find out more about these proven strategies at www.imarketslivinternational.com. The time has come that we become empowered instead of exploited.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab. crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Yes, everybody, welcome back. You are listening to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. If you enjoy what you're hearing, join us here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can call in by listen by calling in at 641-715-3660. Use the participant code 549032#. *6 and the number 1 if you would like to be heard. We just want to thank you all for listening to us tonight. We are doing a recap on the last 3 shows that we did, and we're having a quite fluid conversation. We were just talking about child entrepreneurship. We got into foster parenting and adopting and, you know, that kind of thing. It's about the lady that he met, and she's adopted her 4 grandchildren because they were dropped off by the mom. God bless her. We pray for her wherever she is, that she gets the healing that she needs. You know, and while we are on the air, let me let those of you out there listening know that we have opportunity to allow you to have your own radio program. So if that's something you might be interested in, then go ahead and email me at myvirtuoushelp@gmail.com. myvirtuoushelp@gmail.com. Or you could also give me a call. My number is 253-343-7284. And I would also like to open up the opportunity for businesses, especially if you have an internet business, to run a promo ad on our network. We have some great pricing. If that's something you're interested in, we can run your ad for you. We can create your ad for you at a very low price. Very low price. Give me a call, 253-343-7284. Ask for CC. Or you could email me at myvirtuoushelp@gmail.com. Let's continue on with our show, Robert. So the last subject matter that we have today was the recapping of the Power Networking Conference and also the Fuller Dudley Gala celebration that went on. So, of course, the last month I was at those 2 events before I landed here in St. Louis, and they were quite inspirational, as they are always. My goodness. I mean, I always think, maybe I won't go the next year, but once I go again, I'm like, I mean, forget everything, but just the camaraderie of all of the entrepreneurs in the building is enough to make you want to come back. This year, they had the Power Networking Conference 2016 in Prince George's County. That was in Maryland. I believe it was Maryland. I'm just confused between the Virginia and Maryland thing. It's like those 2 places are just merged together. But, yeah, it was in Prince George's County, which is very beautiful. Kind of reminded me of Seattle. So I wasn't overly impressed, but it was still beautiful. Previously, they had it in Dallas, Texas. In the last 2 years, I went to Dallas, Texas, and met a whole lot of wonderful people. I mean, I have business cards coming out of my ears. But like I always say, Robert, business cards are like money to me. I mean, I love to collect people's business cards. I will pick business cards up off the ground and keep them because, you know, if somebody's in business, I feel like that's the person that I need to know, especially since I have coined myself as the infopreneur. So if I'm in contact with you for business and then I meet somebody else who might need your business, then I can definitely make that connection. And I think that's just something that just drives me. It's wonderful. So I love the Power Networking Conference and the opportunity that there is to meet so many new people and the people that have never been there before, the people that are OGs, and then the superstars like Michael B. Roberts, George Frazier, Randall Pinkett, and let's see who else. Les Brown, of course. I didn't name off any women. Why didn't I do that? Let me see. What women were there this year? I don't know. You know, I'm kind of lost because I didn't stay the whole time. But with that being said, it's always a wonderful experience. And looking forward to planning for going back there next year. It'll be in Prince George's County again. I think soon we'll be announcing availability and making travel arrangements and that kind of thing for the Power Networking Conference. Then the next thing, let's see, the Dudley Celebration. Mr. Dudley, who's been in the hair care industry for a very, 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 very long time. We got to celebrate his birthday and commemorate his mentor, Mr. What's his mentor's name? Robert? Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I
keep muting the phone when we go on break. So but his mentor's name is S.B. Fuller.
Oh, okay. Mr. Fuller. That's right. S.B. Fuller. In that, Mr. S.B. Fuller, which I had heard of him, I don't know what that's about. Maybe it's because I live in Seattle. I don't know. I get kind of disheartened when there's important people that I don't know about, especially in our Black history and stuff like that. That kind of bothers me. But Mr. Fuller was Mr. Dudley's mentor and taught him how to do business. And my goodness, this man, Mr. Fuller, was a dynamic guy. He didn't graduate from high school. I mean, I think he only went to like the 10th grade or 6th grade or some low grade, you know, but because we are who we are, he was able to build business and become a wonderful entrepreneur, mentored Mr. Dudley, like I said, and mentored people like Mary Kay, you know, Mary Kay Cosmetics. All of you women out there have joined that multi-level marketing thing, Mary. And there's so many people Mr. Fuller actually mentored. And again, I've never heard of this man. Mr. Dudley still flows off of Mr. Fuller's people. He has a weekly meeting with his people. And when I was there, I got to go to the meeting. It was in his home, in his garage, which, of course, you could imagine it was a nice big home. I mean, even the garage itself, it was like 5-car garage or something, but we were in there. And Mr. Dudley obtained a book written about Mr. Fuller, and so he passed that book out to everyone at the whole gala. But when we came to the more intimate garage at his home or whatever, we had a reading experience where we all just read from the book and we talked about it. It was like just a book talk or something like that. And I was like, wow, who does this, you know? But I mean, people who are successful, they do things differently. We know that. And Mr. Dudley definitely has been so successful over the years. And there were gentlemen that stood up and talked about Mr. Dudley and how they had left and they were still able to come back, you know, even if they left like on some sour terms or whatever. He always like took them back under his wing. I mean, you look at this guy and you can tell like he just has been in this business while. He never sold out. He came in and just did what he had to do for Black people, and he's still doing that. And here at the gala, he invited Minister Farrakhan, and there was a lot of the Muslim brothers and sisters there. And I mean, it was just such an elegant event, and I mean, it was just so harmonious. It was beautiful, and it's always beautiful to me, us looking. You know, loving each other. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I'm looking to get into more things like that. I love networking, but I really love networking with other Black people. I think we really, really, really need to get into doing that more versus being afraid or shy or scared, you know, because we're not afraid or shy or scared when it comes to dealing with those other people, you know, but when it comes to our people, we clam up and when it's out, just, you know, right away, okay, no, he's this kind of, you know, instead of really just coming down to earth and deciding to, yes, we all have our faults. Yes, we all mess up. But like the saying goes, you know, a few.
You fade in and out again, CC.
People are one thing wrong, or you.
CC, you're fading. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're fading in and out again.
Okay. Well, I was saying, the other people that we shop with do things to us all the time concerning our purchases, but we still go back and shop with them. But when it comes to black people, we don't want to do that. One black person could do something to us, and then all black people are crooked, or you can't do business with them, and there's all this crazy stuff. So we really need to stop that. Just really seek harmony within each other. It's hard. It's so hard because of things that we've been through to trust each other. I mean, we just always want to throw shade, daggers, rocks, shoot. We always want to do these things to each other, and it's because of the state that we've been in. But I say if you're conscious about it, look to change it. If you need to get some counseling, do that. I mean, there's counseling online where you can just go on YouTube and type in counseling. Just listen to somebody talk to you for a minute. Undo some of that stinking thinking so that you can move forward in your life. Engage where you need to engage so you can be prosperous. Sometimes your prosperity doesn't even look like what you thought it should look like, you know. And sometimes we have to overcome these barriers in our past or in our lives in order for us to be prosperous. So again, if you need some type of therapy, which I think everybody does, get it however you need to get it. You know, some people think church is their therapy. Church is not your therapy. Don't say that. I'm not saying it doesn't help, but no, church is not your therapy. You know, reading the word is good, but you know, sometimes you need to talk to somebody. Yes, you talk to God. I know that. I do too. But sometimes you need to go get some help for that way that you've been living or that way that you've been thinking, you know. Because we all need to heal so that we can prosper together, so we can form group economics, so that we can build off of wherever we need to start, you know, so we can have healthy conversations, you know, so we can decide to go to places like Power Networking or Mr. Dudley's Gala, or, you know, just get that bad thinking out that it's not for us. Everything is for you that you want. You know, if you want to be a networker, you can be a networker. If you want to do black business, you can do black business. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you can be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, are you talking?
No, I'm listening to you.
Oh, I thought I heard some, I do hear some talking, but it's somebody else. Uh-oh. Yes. But anyway, yeah, so I mean that's my take on it. I mean that was a wonderful experience, and you know, Robert, you're talking about your going is the trade shows. I mean, you are interested in doing that and taking some entrepreneurs with you, young people. I mentioned to you before there's a trade show coming up in St. Louis. You know, what progress or advancement, what do people need to do if they want to go to the trade show? I mean, for new listeners, tell us, what is a trade show? What is a trade show?
Well, depending upon what industry one is in, these different industries always have a meeting, and chances are, a very strong chance, it's going to be in Las Vegas. Most trade shows for most industries are in Las Vegas because it is the touring is a tourist city. There is no place in the United States that a plane can land on a runway as cheap as it can in Las Vegas. people to come in and gamble. So hotels are cheap, food is cheap. The environment is set up perfectly for trade shows. They have the venues, the square footage. They have it all there in Las Vegas. So most often, whether you're talking about furniture, automotive, clothing, general merchandise, real estate, all these different industries go to Las Vegas and they have a trade show. The trade shows attract the top flight people in the industry to come there and speak or show the latest trend in fashion, or speak on the latest when it comes to real estate, the latest trend in the real estate market, and they allow you to have a glimpse into what's about to happen before the public is even aware of. One thing, the fashion industry is really a funny industry. I mean, literally, once you go to the trade show, it's called the Magic Trade Show. Once you go there, you can go to some of the fashion shows and literally see the new stuff that they're going to program people to wear. And you look at this stuff and think that nobody's going to wear this stuff. But you'll soon see it in every city, and it'll wow you or awe you, because you're like, damn, I ain't think nobody would wear this. But what they do is they use celebrities and, you know, sports figures, all that kind of stuff, and put the fashions on their back. Rappers put it on their back, and then the next thing you know, everybody in the damn country is wearing these different fashions. So that's what these trade shows, that's how these trade shows work. And they attract the people that are interested in those industries, whether, again, just depending on what it is that you like. You can look it up on the internet. If you're in a certain industry, go and type in on the search bar trade show, or real estate trade show, or fashion trade show in Las Vegas, or, you know, and I'm almost certain that something's going to pop up for your industry. So we want to take some young people to Las Vegas this August, actually July 31st to August 3rd. We have a trade show coming up, and that's the ASD trade show, which is the General Merchandise Trade Show. And you'll find everything at this show, from electronics to four-wheelers, scooters, appliances, housewares, food, just a variety of stuff is at the General Merchandise Show. Then later on, midway into the month, there is the Magic Show. This show is very, 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 very key to your success as fashion designers, as well as retailers too. But I'm speaking because I know a few fashion designers, my son being one, young brother out at the Fleet Market with me that has a clothing line called Ambition. My son's clothing line is called Fiction, and it's not spelled the way you think it would be spelled. It's, and these young people need to be exposed to the people who actually take cotton and turn it into fabric, the people who actually put the no tag but the print on sizes in your t-shirts. Those type of businesses are at this Magic Show, which is in Las Vegas. It's the Men's Apparel Group show, and that's going to be, like I said, mid August, around the, I think I want to say the 15th through the 18th. It's a 3-day show, and in that show, they also have the WSA, which is the World Shoe Association show, and it's a gang of shoes. This is the show that drive women crazy. It's shoes and purses. So I'm pretty sure we're gonna go to both shows. My desire was to take 5 to 6 young men and women to at least one of the shows. We put up a GoFundMe page, and it was called Youth to Las Vegas. It just hasn't done well in financing this trip, and we're getting down to the nitty gritty now. So we're like almost 45 days out, and once you get to the 30 day mark, then everything gets a little bit more costly in terms of airfare and hotel. So I mean, I know we're gonna take one or two. I'm a finalist, but we just would like to take more. You break it up.
Keep going. No, that's not me. That's not me.
Oh, okay. So that's the gist of a trade show. And
okay. Well, listen, what I want you to do is, I just wanted like a little recap of what that is, because like every time we have, you know, new listeners, I want them to know. But I also want them to know about the group economic plan that you have for your building. I think that's very important, because you may have investors that would like to invest in what you are doing with your building. You are getting 7 people together. Now, what is it that you're doing with your building? We have a few minutes left, and I want you to be able to tell everyone about that in case they would like to participate in this opportunity.
Okay, well, I have a commercial building here, 8033 North Broadway at St. Louis, Missouri, 63147. What I'm attempting to do, is bring together 7 people. I'm charging the rent for the space downstairs at $700 a month. And I want 7 people to get involved, to split the rent $100 a piece. Now, we are going to be the 7 people that's going to get downstairs, clean it up, and do the minor work that needs to be done. It's not more than $1,000 worth of work that needs to be done down there. So I'm offering this because there was a sister that I was going back and forth with on Facebook, and I just was inspired behind her conversation to share this blessing that I've had coming into this building, and try to work again with those of like mind to at least create a coffee shop that we can call our own, and come and have good conscious dialogue, invite people in from the community. It could be a coffee shop. It could be numerous of things. It's quite a bit of square footage down here. I want to say about 1,600 to 1,800 square feet down there. It used to be a church. So and with those 7 people, we allow them to express their own entrepreneurial ideals as well in the environment. We actually police the environment. We look out for one another. We definitely maintain a level of security for one another, and we just do everything in house, as well as reaching out to the younger generation to train them in entrepreneurship. So we set the business up and then allow the young people to come in and get training on what it's like to actually run a business. And then we give them a little stipend for doing it. But the training is what they really need most. And we don't want to start putting them on a payroll, because that's the opposite direction that entrepreneurship goes in. You have to understand that with entrepreneurship, there's no guaranteed salary there. This is a faith-driven lifestyle. So if you're interested in knowing more, or either coming by and seeing the property, I can be reached at 314-791-3210. That is my cell phone. It's best to send me a text, and then I can reach out to you from that point. You can go on Facebook and find me at Robert 11 spelled out with an X attached to it.
Miner, M-I-N-E-R. And you also can contact us through our other Facebook page, which is BIB Blacks in Business or BIB Radio. And we can begin the dialogue and you know, give you a tour of the building. Hopefully we don't, this is not going to be a prolonged thing. It really is a no-brainer. It's real simple. There's not a lot of money involved in this. We split the rent down by seven so that it can really just be like for a person to hear that and be like, man, that's nothing. I mean, you divide $700 into 30 days, that's really not no real serious money. But the opportunity to actually make some good money and build or get some good ideas from seven other entrepreneurs that are involved, you know, that's priceless right there. We're here every day with each other, and we're talking, having good dialogue. That's the thing that I want to create, that environment, and then reproduce the same thing over and over and over again, as well as incorporating in the next time we do it, we're going to actually incorporate the whole idea of buying the property and then reproduce this with seven other people. So, like I say, contact me at that number, 314-791-3210, and we can go into further dialogue from that point.
All right. Well, sounds good. Everyone, I would say capitalize on this. $100 is not a lot. If you can't do $100, find somebody and you couple up with them and do 50 each, okay? So maybe 14 people. But, I mean, this is very possible, very doable. There's no excuse. This is a great opportunity to have a business in a business in a business in a business, and seven times over, 14 times over. I mean, I don't know. The possibilities are endless. So definitely contact Robert. And also feel free to join us on our Facebook page. It's called BIB, which stands for Blacks in Business Radio, BIB Radio on Facebook. We will post things there about the show. If we find out things throughout the week pertaining to the shows that we talked about, we'll put them there. We'll put links to the show there if you'd like to listen to the show later on. Just join us. Join us here every week, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Black Talk Radio Network. Also, listen to the other wonderful programming on Black Talk Radio Network. I'm telling you, there will never be a bored moment if you listen to Black Talk Radio Network. Make this your home. Listen to the other wonderful hosts. Their programming is dynamic. You will learn something. Join us here every week on Thursday. But we're going to tell you good night. Join us here next week. Thanks for joining us. Good night.